Hello, and welcome to the French Kiss Life podcast, all about living with more elegance, style, and joie de vivre in your everyday life. I'm Tanya Lee, your hostess. Let's get started. Hello, my friends. I feel like I have to whisper right now. I never knew how hard it would be to record a podcast with a golden retriever in the house. And he finally went down for a nap, and I have a little space where I can record. It seriously feels like I'm raising a kid again, but I wouldn't trade it for the world because I am in love with this guy. Seriously. I wake up every morning to puppy kisses. We go out and play. I go out for a walk with him and I throw the ball, and he's just so full of life. This dude loves life. And that's something I want to talk about today in the podcast. This is the month of Valentine's Day. It's the month of romance and love. And you can just go on Facebook and you'll see a lot of things being shared about self-love. But I want to tell you why you should stop trying to love yourself. I know. You're probably thinking, what? That's what I thought I was supposed to do. And yes, I do want you to love yourself. But sometimes the way we go about it actually takes us further and further away from self-love. So just hear me out. Just stay open-minded over the next 20 or so minutes. You know, the other day I was thinking about when I was a little girl. I didn't obsess about my thighs. I didn't worry about what people thought of me, nor did I ever wonder if I was pretty or smart enough. And my thoughts about self-love, I don't think I even thought about myself that much. I was too busy living life. I was running and playing and laughing and getting together with friends and enjoying. But then something happened. Suddenly, my conversations with friends that used to always center around our excitement about our lives and our futures were replaced with what diet we were going to try next and the latest exercise to tighten our thighs and how we loathed our cellulite. And then something even more horrible happened. Instead of celebrating each other, we began to feel immense envy towards each other. Our once free-spirited and life-loving, radiant selves faded into sad beings. We began to drown in the sea of unworthiness. And this wasn't just within my group of girlfriends. It's been an epidemic that has gripped most of Western society. Now here we are, women who have lost their joie de vivre. You know, I have coached over 1,000 women at this point, and what I know is love is what we all desire. But we might find ourselves attempting to get love through our actions. By trying so hard to be good enough, or trying so hard to be impressive enough, or trying so hard to be beautiful enough. And the result is, the more we chase it, the harder it seems to find, right? And then we desperately try to get love from others, but that's impossible. Because your husband, or your children, or your parents, your sister, your best friends, they can't give you love. In fact, no one can. Because love is a feeling, and the only person that can create your feelings is yourself. So what a hot mess this has become for us modern day women, right? And of course, we can blame the media, our childhood, our ex-husbands, or whoever else for why we are the way we are. But blame doesn't get us anywhere. The blame simply keeps us stuck in the cycle. You are always the source of and the barrier to your own love. Love is a feeling, one that you're always creating or resisting. This includes the love that you have for yourself. So then how does a woman love herself? This is the million-dollar question, you all. Something that should be so simple has become completely complicated from years of running the I'm not enough tape in our heads. And we believe that we must fix it in order to heal it, or at least that's what I thought. However, when you have spent years, maybe even decades, being your own worst enemy, it's not the easiest thing to fix, right? I knew something was wrong with the relationship I had with myself. So, like many women, I read books and more books on the topic and immersed myself in all things that I thought would help me learn to love myself. And being the good student that I am, I did what I was told to do. I stared in the mirror and chanted mantras. I laugh now thinking about it, because at the time, you have to understand, these kinds of things, saying this to myself was, I didn't believe it. You know, I would look in the mirror and say, I love you, beautiful. And then I'd hear that other voice saying, you're such a liar. Or, you're amazing, darling. And then that other part of me would say, this is silly. Or, you are fabulous, sweetie pie. And then that other part of my brain was like, yeah, right. Who are you kidding? But I was committed to figuring out this whole self-love thing, because it is important that we love ourselves. So I did more of what they said. I scheduled pedicures and massages, because that's what I was told a woman who loves herself does. Plus, you know what? I do like pretty toes, so this was like a no-brainer. But what happened next was fascinating. As I was sitting in my local Love My Nails salon, I began to notice that voice. So the woman sitting beside me was decked to the nines and looked so important, and I instantly thought, I'm such a loser. Yes, I had a fabulous little stylish yoga outfit on, and I had my red toes, but it looked like my plan to immerse myself in self-love had escaped me once again. And then during my massage, the voice showed up again. All I could think about was what the therapist must be thinking when she was like fumbling around the back of my thighs, pressing on my cellulite. And so the hour passed, and I realized that I'd been so in my head that I didn't even enjoy this self-love assignment. And this uncomfortable feeling reminded me of the $150 that I had just wasted at the spa. It was a toxic cycle. I noticed the voice again a few weeks later when my friend sent me a deck of love cards. Following her recommendation, she was like, you have to pull one every morning. And so I did. And as I read the lovely quotes and looked at the beautiful illustrations about a woman's beauty and strength and what's possible, I realized that the creator of this deck of cards clearly did not have me in mind when she made them. I kept searching for more and more self-love. I went to therapy. I worked out. I prayed. I was so far from that little girl I once was, the one who just loved to have fun, enjoy people, and was so curious about the world. Now I want to talk with you about how self-obsession is the antithesis of self-love. So years ago, I was having lunch with my friend Janet. She is an elegant and passionate woman. And to me, she is the embodiment of a woman who loves herself. So I thought I'd dig into her head to see how she had figured out the whole self-love thing. And I asked her, I said, you know, Janet, how did you learn to love yourself? And her reply was the most surprising secret I'd been looking for. She was like, I don't know. I don't really think about it. I've always believed that if you want something, you need to learn from those who already have it. So I wondered, could it be that simple? Did I need to simply stop focusing on trying to love myself? Because my quest for self-love spun me deeper into the black hole of self-obsession. You know, it was the self-obsession that had created my lack of self-love, you know, constantly wondering, how do I look? Am I smart enough? Do they like me? Am I thin enough? Why do I keep failing? What do they think of me? All those kinds of thoughts. And then trying to love myself was keeping me there, because now it was me thinking about me all of the time. I love myself. I am beautiful. It was just such a life of me and I. And I can tell you that is a lonely life. It left me feeling so disconnected, not only from myself, but from life. You all, my company isn't called French Kiss Yourself. Plus, that would be pretty weird, right? It's called French Kiss Life, and that is on purpose. I want you to think about this. What if you stop trying to love yourself? I know this may seem like a crazy idea, especially considering that we are told that it's the holy grail of amazing life. And I'm going to be a little paradoxical here. I'm a huge advocate for self-love. I want every woman to love herself. But I want you to consider that the way we've been going about it may be more damaging than it is supportive. First of all, let's look at what self-love really is. It's described as a regard for one's own well-being and happiness. Let me ask you, does putting your life on hold until one day when you feel good enough seem good for your well-being? Does trying to fix yourself make you happy? Does staying stuck in a toxic pattern feel like self-love? Ironically, the way I went about loving myself did the opposite for me. By focusing on trying to love myself, I was constantly reminded of the fact that I didn't. And finally, I realized the most loving thing I could do for myself was to stop trying to love myself. It's ironic, I know. But think about this. What you focus on grows. I didn't realize it at the time, but my approach to self-love was causing me to constantly focus on my lack of it. It's like the person who can't become rich because they are constantly feeling poor. Einstein said, "Problems cannot be solved with the same mind that created them." And you know what? He's a smart fella, so I figured that I needed to heed his advice. My mind had clearly created this, so I needed another approach to this whole self-love thing. And I've come to understand something really important in life, and it's this. The best way to create anything is to act as if you already have it. During that conversation with my friend Janet, when she revealed that she didn't even think about self-love, she told me something else. She said, "You know what? I'm happiest when I'm not thinking about me, but I'm thinking about how to enjoy my life." I started to think about the other women in my life that didn't seem to struggle with themselves like I did. And every single one of them had full lives. Hobbies they enjoyed, causes they were passionate about, things outside of themselves to focus on. Janet didn't realize it, but she had handed me the secret to self-love, which ironically was to stop focusing on it. Instead of self-love, I focused on living life. In thinking of Einstein's quote, I realized I needed to create a new mind to get me out of this mess. I needed to think from the place of already loving myself. And that woman, well, she was loving life. So I needed new experiences to help me see myself and the world differently. I needed to start living insecurities, faults, and all, because I still have them. Imagine if I'd waited to love myself, to live life. Now, I can say today I do love myself, but I went about it in such a different way. You know, at that time, I wanted to find things that filled my heart, interesting people to converse with, and things to learn. And I definitely needed to stop chanting mantras and reading books to remind me of how broken I felt. I needed to live and love life. And that's what I started doing. I went back to get my liberal arts degree because I'd always wanted to learn about philosophy and religion and film and the arts in general. I started hosting 6-course dinner parties where I'd spend weeks planning the details, right down to the playlist. I played tennis in the afternoons after I got off work. I volunteered at my daughter's school. I took cooking classes because deep down, I've always wanted to be the next Julia Child. I also hired my very first coach who didn't ask me to do more of the same. We didn't spend hours on the phone talking about why I was the way I was. Now, we did explore the beliefs holding me back, and that's an important part of the process, but I'm suggesting you don't have to fix those beliefs before you go out there and start living your life. Because in the end, what she did for me is she challenged me to do things that pushed me out of the comfort zone, and those new experiences created new ways of thinking, and new ways of thinking created new ways of feeling. What I did was I accepted life's grand invitation to step out and fall in love with my life. Not myself, but my life. Now, if you are a woman that has been struggling with self-love, I am going to challenge you to do the same. In fact, I have created this play sheet. I like to call them play sheets, not worksheets, because I want to think of personal growth as play. But it's called Je t'aime la vie, which is French for I love you, my life. And in this play sheet, I give you prompts and challenges to do what my first coach did for me, to challenge me to step outside of my comfort zone and to do new things to create those new experiences, to shift the patterns that were holding me back. If that is something you're interested in, make sure you head to frenchkisslife.com/love. You know what? Every day, we are given so many opportunities to love our lives. You know, just this morning, I woke up and felt so much love for the smell of coffee that Glenn was brewing for me. And then, of course, I loved the puppy kisses from Winston that wake me up every morning. And then I looked over and I saw a text from my daughter that made my heart just melt. And then I turned on Rye on Pandora. By the way, if you all do not know Rye, go check them out. It's R-H-Y-E. It's the most beautiful, sensual music that I love starting my day out with. If it's not Rye, it's Frank Sinatra. But this morning, it was Rye. And when I put it on, there was that feeling of love again. During all of that, not once did I think of loving myself. Instead, I just found myself enraptured with this feeling of love. And that is what we're all wanting. We just want to feel the emotion of love. You see, when I made loving my life my daily focus, I felt a deep inner, like, reawakening. I started to come alive because I no longer felt separate, living in the dark crevices of my own mind. I stopped the self-obsession that was driving me mad. And it's from this place where I started to feel connected to everyone and everything. So let me ask you this. Maybe you need a guide, and I'm going to challenge you to tap into your inner best friend because she has a love for life. Now, hear me out. Up until this point, you may be thinking, well, Tanya, you know what? This sounds great. It makes sense. But is it that easy? And the answer is no. Change is hard, which is why a lot of people never do. And to be clear, for me, this transformation was not an overnight epiphany where I woke up one day and said, yes, I'm going to love my life, the end. This is my lifelong practice. There have been many days of thinking I'm broken and wanting to retreat from my life. Of course, they are far and few in between now because I've become a completely new woman, but it still happens. This is why I'm such a huge advocate of learning how to be our own best friends. And I don't know about your besties, but mine, they refuse to let me wallow in my own suffering. It doesn't matter if you're sitting at home telling yourself the not enough story. The best of friends are the ones that walk in, usually without knocking. They throw back the covers, tell you to get out of bed and get dressed, and pull you out of your own misery. Am I right? They remind you that you have a life to live. Trips to take, people to meet, laughter to be had, movies to see, and a world to discover. That's what I did for myself day after day when I committed to loving my life. It was a choice. I didn't wait until I felt like it. No, I made a decision. Girlfriend, you're going to love your life. Every day, look for something to love. Now, the voice of unworthiness was still with me. But at least I wasn't sitting at home waiting for her to shut up before I could leave my house or try something new. Even today, she'll come pay me an unexpected visit, just like a few weeks ago. So here's what happened. We have this big annual event in our small mountain town, and it's everyone looks forward to it all year long. It's a huge, like, costume festival. It's called Snowdown, and it's so much fun. And every year it has a theme. This year, the theme was Hollywood. And you know that I was all on that. I'm like, yes, a reason to dress up. So I'd made plans to spend the whole weekend with Glenn and our friends. And I was so excited to dance the night away. And all of our best couple friends were going to be there. And we made all of the pre-planning arrangements together. We were going to go out to dinner. And I had my gorgeous sequin dress picked out. I was so excited. I'd been running fantasies in my head for days about how great this evening was going to be, all of us together having fun. But the day of the event, Glenn became sick. I know. I was like, really, Glenn? You picked a wonderful day to do this. And that's when I heard her start to rear her head, that voice. And she loves to run the self-pity tape that says things like, woe is me, you poor thing, nothing ever works out for you. And usually she ends it with, oh, and you suck. Do you know that tape? Maybe you have the same one. And I could feel myself being pulled into the old me, the one who loved to suffer, who was addicted to it. And so I told Glenn, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stay home. I was so pouty. It's silly now that I think about it. But I was like, I'm just going to stay home. And he's like, no, you're not. And this went on for about 15 minutes. And then I started to channel my inner best friend. And her message was clear. She was like, come on, girl, put on your dress. We are going out tonight. And that's what we did. By the end of the night, my heart was so full. I danced with my friends. We had a fabulous dinner. It was great music. It was beautiful weather. And I was so in love with my life that night. And I loved myself for not sitting at home feeling sorry for myself. Here's what I've discovered. Through living, the voice of self-loathing begins to fade. You know, in the beginning, I carried that part of me that was addicted to suffering everywhere. In fact, we've traveled the world together. We've hung out in a lavender field in Provence and snorkeled in St. Bart's. We've attended networking events together. And oh, did she love that time that I mispronounced the French wine rosé, like the flower, during my first day in sommelier school. Yes, I did. I was like, I love rose wine. And the whole class was like, what did she just say? Who is this girl? And then that voice in my head was like, you are so stupid. Who do you think you are trying to learn about wine? Just go home before you embarrass yourself again. But you know what? I kept showing up. And as I did, something crazy started to happen. Number one, I did learn how to pronounce rosé along with many other wines. But when I stopped trying to fix myself and focused on creating a life I love, things began to change without all the hard effort. My state of being was changing. Who I was changing. And the energy I was transmitting to the world was on a completely different level. And that nagging, not enough voice in my head, well, she started to fade and another one started to appear. And I realized it was the voice of my childhood. It was the part of me that said things like, that was fun. I am so proud of you. You're so courageous. You're okay. Look at you living. You go, girl. And then more miracles started happening. I began to lose weight with ease. I was happier. I started receiving crazy opportunities out of nowhere, ones that seemed like fairy tale fantasies from my dreams. And then I realized, my God, I think I love myself. And all of that living, I fell in love with the part of me who does things scared, who's imperfectly perfect, who puts on a beautiful dress and dances all night, who does things even when I don't feel like it, who walks into a room and thinks of others, the part of me that follows her curiosities, is there for a friend who screws up and tries again, who looks for the best things in everyone, who looks for things to feel grateful for, who does the best I can, who loves people with a big heart, who jumps on a plane and travels and throws dinner parties. I realized that I was living my life as I did when I was a little girl, just enjoying and appreciating the world around me. And along the way, I began to appreciate the woman living it. It's actually truly miraculous. So I want to encourage you to breathe the love back into your life. One of my favorite quotes by Mary Oliver says, are you breathing a little and calling it a life? And I'm a testament that you can breathe fully, even if you don't love yourself yet. And with each deep breath, you may discover that you're breathing the love and life back into yourself. I've come to understand that we all have that voice in our heads. And if you focus on fixing it before you live, you're in for a miserable life. If you've been struggling with self-love, giving you what you want, I want you to do this. I want you to stop trying to love yourself. Instead, create a love for life and just start living. Book a trip. Go outside for a walk. Watch a sunset. Volunteer. Take a class. Join a club, listen to music, set a goal, do something that challenges you. Find things to appreciate and love. And yes, I'd even encourage pedicures and massages just because, you know what, you deserve it. Go out there and live. And I bet one day you'll wake up in the mirror and, like I did, and say, "Hello, gorgeous," and not break out into laughter. You will really mean it. In all that living, you will fall in love with the part of yourself that is greater than the voice in your head that tells you that you're not enough and who has the courage to go out there and French kiss life. This is what happened for me, and I can tell you it's been a grand romance ever since. This is my love story. If you want to create your own love story, head over to frenchkisslife.com/love. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and I will see you in the next podcast. Cheers.